This is an article from the Gundagai Independent, Monday the 9th of June 1952. The headline is Floodwaters Maroon Thousands at Football. Nightmare Experience Climax to Mark Up Match. Shuttle Service by Big Lorries to the Rescue. Thousands of spectators at last Saturday's Mark Up Match played on Anzac Park were marooned in the enclosure by rapidly rising floodwaters, which had risen over 3 feet during the progress of the match and cut off all access to the park. It was a nightmare experience for the vast crowd, estimated at over 6,000 souls. The happening was unique as it was hazardous, but the mass rescue of the populace was carried out with ease and without serious incident. The Gundagai Football Club was aware that a rise in the river was expected, but estimates from all knowledgeable flood warning men was that the Tumut River floodwater would not reach Gundagai until after the match had concluded. In order to meet a possible earlier rise, the club, under the supervision of Shire Engineer R. Smith and with the willing team of workers, constructed a pedestrian viaduct with oil drums, concrete blocks and heavy planks, raised more than 3 feet above the roadway. At noon, there was no sign of water on the roadway, and it was thought by some that the precaution was unnecessary. Just how wise this move proved was shown by later events. The rapid rise in the Murrumbidgee from Tumut River floodwaters was unprecedented. It came as rapidly as it was unexpected by the authorities. An hour before the big game began, the water commenced to trickle across the road leading to the park. The continued rise was so rapid that by half time in the Mark Up match, the roadway was underwater to a depth of 18 inches and pedestrians who wanted to enter the park had to use the pontoon bridge. At this time, the playing area was a complete island, and Sergeant A.A. Forbes became alarmed at the steep rise in the water. Together with Sergeant C.W. Fisher, Constables E. Hinder, C. Legg and J. Kirshner, Sergeant Forbes decided to plan the rescue of a crowd of over 6,000 persons watching the match. On the advice of the police, some of the people left the ground immediately, but the majority refused to leave, being too engrossed in the rugby league drama being staged on the Oval. When the match concluded, the water had reached a depth of 2 feet over some parts of the roadway. It was still rising slowly, and it was slapping the entrance gates to the park. Some people took off boots and socks and rolled up trousers and waded through the water by the pontoon bridge, the ends of which by this time were underwater. The larger portion of the crowd would not face the stream. The police had organised a fleet of heavy motor trucks to take people over the water and away from all danger. The age of chivalry is certainly dead. For it amazed and appalled us to notice that as the trucks were being loaded, that some men brushed aside women and children as they rushed to get on the rescue lorries. The truck lift worked smoothly until late in the afternoon, with the water still rising. Some cars stopped midstream. This meant that they had to be towed out by trucks. After four vehicles had been so trapped, other car drivers were prepared to wait and be towed along by the heavy trucks. By 5:35 p.m. the big lift had been completed without one mishap, and all the stranded football followers had been taken through the floodwaters to higher and drier ground. By the time the last vehicle had crossed, the stretch of floodwater in front of the park was 100 yards wide and on the crown of the roadway over 2 feet deep. There was no sign of panic amongst the huge concourse, and most people treated the inconvenience lightly. One of the most sought-after persons was Mr. Jack Britt, who drove his horse in sulky. This made the fording of the flood as popular as the Berlin airlift. The cooperation of the owners and drivers of the lorries is to be commended. They worked willingly and performed a big task in a most capable manner. After the crowd had been cleared, members of the Gundagai Club, fearing that valuable timber used in the pontoon bridge might be washed away, worked until 7 p.m., salvaging the drums and decking. This was no easy task, and the Shire lorries and Mr. Len Adams' tow trucks were responsible for the great job haulage and repair.